Okay, welcome. You are listening to the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee for October 23rd, 2018. I'm the chair, Catherine Davis, of this committee, so I'm calling the committee to order. And we'll start with our official roll call. So we're going to call again in the live stream. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Ken Aaron?
Here.
Catherine Davis? Here. Benito Diaz is absent. James Dingman?
Here.
King Downing?
Here.
Anissa Faruqi is absent. Sabrina Jacobs?
Here.
Ophia Nwangaza is absent. Steve Pride?
Here.
Eric Ramey?
I'm present.
Okay, Murray Cliff Smith from WPFW is on medical leave. Cliff Smith from KPFT. Tom Voorhees?
Here.
Excellent. So we have 9 present. And let's see, 1. Five absent. Okay, in the last meeting, we affirmed that we would send an email to those members of the committee who hadn't been to 3 consecutive meetings to inform them that they would be removed from the roster. So according to my calculations, that would be Afia Nwangaza and Cliff Smith. So unless they are able to join us in today's meeting, we will be removing them from our roster so that they won't have an impact on quorum. And each of those stations are free to elect a new person that would represent them on this committee. So now we're going to, so Jim, according to your calculations, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Catherine, I have a point of information here.
Yes, and who's this?
This is Eric from Washington.
Yes, sir.
Can we avoid, I mean, I know he's got to be expelled. Can we avoid sending Cliff this letter? He's just had a very serious procedure done. His limb amputated. And it just strikes me as a bit crass to send him this letter. Can it just be
We haven't sent a letter to him. Yeah, we haven't sent a letter to him, I don't believe.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was Cliff Smith at KPFT who hadn't responded. Cliff Smith of WPFW is on medical leave, so he's not off the committee. We had elected to give him time to find out how his situation would progress, and
okay,
then give him the option of coming back or the station of electing a new person. So this does not include Murray Cliff.
Okay. Smith, very good.
From WPFW.
Right.
But just to be careful, I would ask Jim not to send him a letter at this time. It would only be...
Say
that again?
Eric's 100% right. Don't worry about that.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. So the roll call is done. Now we need timekeepers. Is there anyone who can serve as a timekeeper? The way we do it is 90 seconds per person, and we move through the agenda once it's approved in order, giving everyone an opportunity to speak. Then they can come back onto the to speak at the end if they choose to. So we need someone to keep 90 seconds for each speaker. Do I have a volunteer?
Eric will do it.
Eric. Okay, thank you, Eric. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda as it now stands? If you like, I can read it to you. Approve the minutes. A report on the programming committee motion that was passed on the PMB, and that is in regard to the U.S. Midterm elections. A report on the questionnaire for program directors. A discussion of potential objectives for the program committee to work on going forward, and that includes analyze and discuss programming, underwriting, working on traffic management, station IDs and promotion, and utilizing airtime, training issues, alternative stations doing internet radio streaming, cost, et cetera, of podcasting, digital and analog, making those comparisons. So that is the existing agenda. Are there any additions or changes?
Sorry, Ken to the stack.
Yes, Ken.
I'd like to include, I guess, after underwriting, that the program director's obligation to report statistics on what is being broadcast by hour and by time.
Statistics?
Yeah.
On what is being...
Yeah, what is being broadcast.
Okay. All right. Is there any objection to adding that? Okay.
No,
are there
no,
any
I'm
other...
I'm recommending under, after underwriting.
That's where I put it. Is there... are there any other changes or additions?
Kathy, this is Jim.
Yes.
I just sent to everybody proposed draft resolutions on traffic management and training. I just sent that out. I sent that out actually a couple of days ago, but I will start drafting resolutions to debate and talk about what have to do with all the things we're talking about and other things too down the road.
Okay. Where do you want that on the agenda?
It's okay. We have enough meat to go through all this tonight, I'm sure.
Okay, so I'll put it at the end.
The resolutions I just sent out, and they sort of fall within the ballywick of the stuff we're talking about. But we can get to it later. No problem.
Okay. At least it'll be there so that we can pick it up if we don't reach
right.
that. Anyone else have a addition or change to the agenda? Okay, I think I didn't read the adjournment time is 10:30 p.m. So, hearing no more additions or changes, the agenda is approved. Okay. So now we have the minutes. Are there any changes to the minutes submitted by the Secretary Jim Dingman? Okay, hearing no changes, the minutes are approved. So the next thing on the agenda is the report on the programming committee motion. And since I did bring that motion to the PMB, I'll read it and then give what feedback I can. And the motion was, be it resolved that all stations are encouraged to collaborate on coverage of the U.S. elections and mandate there must be a substantial number of diverse voices, including people of color, offering hosting and commentary during the coverage. So during the meeting, this motion did pass without objection, but there were some qualifying questions as to how this would happen. And so we engaged with the general manager, and the executive director, rather, Maxie Jackson, and he said that they were already organically in this process of putting together election coverage during their staff meetings. And I believe he said that it was being led by WPFW in Washington. And because of such a small amount of time that they were going to, he's already doing this, and he was going to do his best to take into consideration everything that we were asking of management. So that's kind of where it was left. So are there any questions about that in particular that you might want to ask me that I may have left out or haven't answered?
Jim to the stack?
Yes, Jim.
Did he get into what kind of collaboration was going on between the stations? And also, what is he talking about that PFW is doing? Are they doing 1 hour, 2 hour? Or are they doing it on a daily basis? What exactly is going on?
He didn't give that level of specifics. But he said that they were on their weekly calls, the management calls, is where the collaboration was taking place, and that all of the stations were cooperating and putting together the coverage. I don't have specifics, however.
Okay, all right.
Catherine, it's Eric to the stack.
Yes, Eric.
There's a slight concern here. We ran into this back in 1980 during the election. You know, there's a time difference between the West Coast and East Coast. And it was decided, not here, but the other networks were coming up with projected winners at 9 Eastern when people on the West Coast had not yet voted. I thought it was important to bring that up. There was major blowback.
Okay.
Well, Kathy, Jim to the stack?
Yes, Jim.
Did they give you any kind of detail about content, or was just sort of a general, we're working on this kind of thing?
It was a general, we're working on it kind of thing. It came to the table at the end of the meeting when there was no more time, and I had to get an extension of time in order to even have it addressed. You know, I just appealed to the fact that it was very time sensitive. But there simply wasn't time. So no, there were no real details. I would suggest that we perhaps send a letter to the executive director asking if he can elaborate on the plans, as well as put forth the concern by Eric. And that's what I would recommend that we do. So I could do that, or the secretary could do that, or the vice chair could do that. Eric, would you like to do that? Do you think you would be all right doing that?
Tara, you wanted me to contact the GM and GM and PD in Washington. Is that what it was? Let me just be clear.
No, I'm talking about the executive director. Executive director Maxie Jackson.
Oh, sure. I'll do that and CC everyone else. Yes.
Yeah, send it on behalf of the committee, asking about development and perhaps, putting forth the concern about early projections on who won and perhaps anything else that might be of someone's concern. So I'm putting that there that Eric will send a letter.
Yeah, here's the actual risk here. If it's put out that the Senate has been taken or not been taken, that's the main concern there. But I will certainly get this going.
Okay, excellent. And then if anyone else would like to, and this is specifically about the coverage, if anyone else has anything that they would like to ask or add to this letter, we could include it now, or you can send it following the meeting.
Kane Olmstead.
Who is that?
King.
Yes, King.
Did we communicate to them, or during the course of this meeting, did they communicate to us what the reporting on their ability to provide this diversity would look like? So, for example, would we get some grid that shows that the requirement had been met before the program's launch, so we have a chance to review it, or was the agreement that we would see a report after the fact to show us how well this was met, or both, or neither?
There was no agreement for a report. There was an agreement to take this motion into consideration in the planning process. It may be that we need to add that concern to the letter, that we would like to see some report on how that was able to be manifest or not so, and whatever that might turn out to be. So would you want that to be included in the letter?
Yes, I think it would help to know if, even if it was some kind of ongoing document that we were able to see that showed his names were being plugged in with the designation. So at least we don't find out after the fact that it was met or not met. We still have one last clear chance to see it, and maybe even, I don't know, some of you all may even have recommendations where they haven't been able to fill slots in.
Okay.
Can you email that to me, if you don't mind?
Yes, I can.
We won't get emails over the live stream, but
I'm sorry.
I believe, King, that you do have everyone's email. If not, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I seem to have missed the communications. I didn't. The only documents that I have are documents that Jim has sent. So if somebody could double check, maybe they're ending up in my spam. I will check there too. But if someone on that end could check and see if I'm on the list.
Okay, you are on the list, but sometimes it's hard to find things in the context of how much email we get. So I'll just send you a list of everyone's email, and then you can send what you write to Eric, and he can include that in the letter.
Okay. Well, Kathy?
Thank you.
Yes.
Kathy, just a sec. One thing about bringing this whole issue up
about the midterms is obviously, you know, we've got a huge visible issue. But we know that we're going to have a huge visible issue after the midterms. For example, the whole issue of this caravan in Mexico. And, you know, we're just going to have one big issue after the next with this situation we're in. And part of the reason to sort of begin probing into how we're covering it nationally and what we can do to make it better, because the whole thing is just to make it better. We're not, you know, along the lines of the diversity issues we raised, the other thing. But also, like, what can we do to help each other to make it better? And by better, mm-hmm. meaning, you know, higher quality, more provocative, and more people listening. And so this sort of is an ongoing thing with a public affairs issue, because, you know, Trump is a walking, my personal feeling is that given how Pacifica's history in the past is that it tends to make, frankly, more money during a crisis. Well, we're in a constant crisis now that's going on all the time. And so I'm just suggesting that, you know, we think about the public affairs coordination, because some stations are better at it than others, and just sort of have this as an ongoing theme to try to look at critically. You know, just not for this, the midterms, but let's look at other things too.
Okay, but I have to say that currently we are speaking about the midterms.
Right.
But perhaps there can be a comment about the desire to carry this forward.
Right.
So, but that would not be relevant to the motion itself.
Right.
But I think it's worth including a phrase of that nature.
Right. Well, so just to add to that is that when I was talking to people out in California, KPFA, and they're describing, and, you know, Tom and Sabrina can jump in on this, it seems that one of the big strengths of KPFA is the fact that they have a really strong morning lineup and a strip design doing public affairs news for several hours, plus playing Amy Twice. And then in the afternoon, they have a pretty strong afternoon drive of public affairs. And, you know, I'm just curious what we can learn from that, where we can collaborate with that. And, you know, obviously, this caravan issue, you know, could be something for Trump like the bonus march was in 1932 for Herbert Hoover. But, you know, it just, you know, I realize we're talking about the midterms, but it's just like one extended public affairs opportunity after the next with this situation we're in. And so that's why I'm just raising it going forward. You know, sort of we get more sophisticated and more analytic and more critical and helpful, frankly. That's the key thing, to be helpful.
Okay, well, it strikes me personally that this, what you're speaking of, falls under analyze and discuss programming. So do you have any objection to me putting it there?
No problem.
I'll put it there. Okay. Instead of including it into the discussion on the coverage. Okay. Anything else on this particular motion and the letter to the executive director that anyone would like to add? Okay, hearing none, we'll leave it to Eric to compose the letter. And let's move on to the next item. It's on questionnaire for program directors. So, Ken, would you like to give a report on the questionnaire for the program directors?
Okay, yeah. We composed the questionnaire and with a cover letter. I sent a copy of that to every member of the committee here. I hope it was the correct committee I sent it to. I sent it to this committee, I hope. And
yeah, you did.
Okay, great. And the one thing is, and I sent that questionnaire to everybody in the committee before that, but I made a point that we don't want to upset the hierarchy of management. So I made a point that the program director should be sure that the general manager is aware that he's doing that survey and that he agrees that he should do it. Because, I mean, I wouldn't want some governing body to come in and tell one of my staff that he should go out and survey the local candy stores or give somebody an assignment that's going to take up considerable time. So that caveat that was put in there, it's been distributed. I sent it to the GMs and the program directors, and we'll see when we come back. That's all.
I have a question.
Yes.
Which I hadn't thought of before, but seems relevant. Did you send a copy to the executive director?
I'm not sure, but I could do that. That's fine.
Yeah, if you could do a little update and send him a copy
of
the letter.
Yeah, one moment. Let me just take a look. Perhaps I did. One second. Sent to program director, questionnaire. Oh, God, there's so much activity now. Okay, if I haven't, I will.
Okay, yeah, and maybe just give a little synopsis of what it is.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So that he would know what we're doing. I would have covered it in the report to the PMV had I time, but I wasn't able to in that particular meeting. So I think this would be a good follow-up. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Ken. So are there any questions for Ken about this questionnaire for program directors? And I would say that the questionnaire is a lead up to potentially inviting the program directors onto this committee to talk to us about their work and their concerns. Are there any questions? Has anyone not received that information? King, were you able to receive that?
I'm looking for the documents now.
Okay. Does anyone else have questions or comments, follow-up on this questionnaire?
Jim to the stack.
Who is that?
Jim.
Yes, Jim.
Why don't we invite a program director to participate in the next meeting? Linda said she'd do it. Why don't we invite Linda to participate? She'd probably be easiest one to get, but, you know, maybe we could get someone else. I don't know if we want to do one or two at the same time, but, you know, let's have a conversation with them.
Do we want to give them an opportunity to answer the questionnaire? I believe the next meeting actually on election day.
Oh, right. You're right. Yeah, forget about that. That's a bet.
It isn't likely, that a program director would be able to participate on that day.
Right. Maybe the meeting after that, then. That's true. That's a smart that's true.
Yeah.
And I would suggest we get a program director on the meeting after that, or maybe two of them, you know, just to have a conversation. Because all those questions are designed, I mean, you know, we have maybe a little difference of opinion. I personally do not. We want them to think about these things and answer, you know, like write something, you know, they don't have to like go bananas with this. They just have to sort of think that, these are questions that are professional broadcasting questions. And I'm sure, as we mentioned before, it's a document in process. Everybody can modify it. We can make it better. We don't have to be stuck with one particular way that Ken and I put it together. But the whole thing is to get these people to think out loud with us and, you know, have a nice, friendly conversation about these things, because the whole objective is to figure out how to make it better.
So, Ken, I'm sorry, Jim, I would recommend that you write such a letter.
Right.
And send it to the committee.
All right.
Something that would be stating what you said, that this is about thinking together and inviting them and see who's available, who might be available to the meeting following Election Day.
All right. I will do that. I will work with someone else. I don't necessarily, you know, in some ways, maybe we should even extend the meeting for a longer period of time and invite all of them on. But, you know, I don't know.
Let's take it one step at a time and see who would like to, who's willing.
Okay. I will do that.
Okay, so you're going to write the letter. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. And so our target is going to be the meeting following Election Day. Do you have,
right,
Andy, the meeting schedule?
Let me see. Probably 2 weeks after that, the 20th. KDTFX.
So it would be early December, probably. Okay.
I'll figure. I'll get back to you in a minute or two. I'm looking right now. It's on the 20th of November. It would be the 20th of November.
Okay. November.
We'd aim for that one. All right.
Okay. Is there any objection to that? Or does anyone else want to add or ask a question of that? Continuing the process to invite program directors? No? Okay, that's good. Are there any other thoughts or questions on this whole process of engaging with the program directors about programming? Okay. Next on our agenda is the discussion of potential objectives for program committee to work on going forward. And the first under that topic is analyze and discuss programming. And Jim, this is where I put in your caravan in Mexico.
Right.
Probing into covering nationally to make it better, higher quality, more provocative, and more people listening. Is one of your resolutions relevant to this subject?
The resolutions I sent were mainly on training and traffic management, so they're not necessarily relevant to this. But one thing, and I'm not going to make one up, but just to say quickly, look at the voting suppression issue. You know, Rachel Maddow did a big thing about the voting suppression up in North Dakota. And then we have, of course, what's going on in Atlanta, down in Georgia, and all over the United States. So these are constant, really incredibly powerful public affairs kind of topics that have a great emotional power on the public. And, it just is a constant target of opportunity in front of us. And I'm not saying that we know that some stations have a different history with public affairs programming than others. I was struck when people at KPFA told me how their particular lineups do pretty well on the fund drive. So I'm just trying to figure out how we can learn from each other and make the whole operation better, that's all. And I think that the exploiting of, these rich target of opportunity political things, unfortunately, we have to live through right now, I think is something to really figure out how to do, because that's a great strength that Pacifica has. We can do things that nobody else can if we want to.
Okay. So would anyone else like to comment on this idea of public affairs programming? Okay, I would like to comment, Catherine. Jim, I know that you mentioned the morning programs out in California, and I would like to just comment by way of being cognizant of resources,
right,
that the California stations have the resources for paid staff and paid production and a different kind of programming than perhaps the other stations may have. However, I feel that far too often at the stations and in situations when we have volunteer unpaid producers who are very, very capable of covering these issues, that they are often left out of the equation. So I would be personally more interested in seeing a survey of what the stations have and who the producers are and what kind of issues they cover. Because I am not one to think that even in this regard, we should fall into depending on one station to provide coverage on these issues. So that's what I would say. I think that certainly in WBAI, there are many unpaid producers that are very capable of doing national coverage. And I suspect that that's true at every station. Would anyone else like to comment on that? Or
Ken,
perhaps...
I'll make some
comments. Ken. Yes,
okay.
Ken.
Okay. I think it's ill-advised to try to pinpoint what we're going to cover, because that's going to vary in the future. We can't necessarily predict what we're going to cover, except as is broadly covered in the bylaws about what we're supposed to, what the function and the mission statement says, which I just had in front of me, and I must have hit a button. But it's to provide information, educational information to the community on all matters of interest. And to, you know, if you're familiar with that, geez, where'd that go? So, in other words, let's say certain issues are going to go bloom up and certain issues are going to dissipate. And so, let's say automation of jobs and loss of employment due to automation will bloom in the future, in the upcoming years. Sovereignty of certain nation states may become significant. Methods of procreation and fertilization birth control make bloom. So you can't dictate what the stations are going to cover. That's public affairs. That's got to be very creatively done and be responsive. But the other thing is on that, I'm sorry that I lost that. Oh, wait a minute. It's going to be right here. In radio broadcasting operations, in case an hello? To engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, and creeds. But it's the last paragraph. In radio broadcasting operations, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources of public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. So the guideline, which is the general guideline, which I think is acceptable, I'm not trying to enshrine the bylaws as a religious document, but it's comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. That's the standard for news reporting. And the section prior to that, in radio broadcasting operations to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, that covers the categories of culture and integration of or relationships between people. And that could be finance, music, law, matrimony, anything. Okay? So I don't think we want to put to any that we're going to send policy on what's going to be covered or anything. Our job is to oversee that this that policy is being used correctly so that management at stations are fulfilling the bylaws, that they're providing content that's of interest to the public and contributes to the lasting understanding between nations and between people. And that's a very broad topic. That can be any topic that has to do with the interaction of people and nations and between people and nations and between people and nations and nations. And in terms of news coverage, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. I think that's adequately well stated. Because, again, we have to broadly react to what's happening in the world. And there's just one other comment I want to make, which is a little bit controversial. I think that what we want to do, as a committee here and for the stations, is to put our attention on servicing the listening audience.
Can we wrap your comment to another area. 30 seconds?
Give me 30 seconds. We have to put attention on who's listening, not who's talking. So I'm less concerned with somebody having an opportunity to put on a program than I am with putting on a program that people want to listen to. That's the point. I think we're here for the listening audience, not for the programmers. The programmers are here for the listeners. And if they're not, and the listeners are not listening, then they're not there.
Okay.
And I know that's controversial to say that, but that's the way I feel.
That's fine. It's your statement. Would anyone else like to comment on this?
Yeah, Jim to the start.
And Grace.
Someone else. Yeah, Grace, go first, please.
Yeah.
I'm looking up a little reference. Can I go second?
Okay. All right, Jim.
Well, Kathy, if anybody else wants to speak before me.
Does anyone else want to speak on this? I do. So I'll put myself before you, Jim.
Go on.
It may be controversial what was being said with regard to the listeners, but for me what's controversial is the presumption that that's not already being a concern of the producers. So, yes, I think both are equal partners in this whole process. And to presume that the producers are not taking that into consideration is unfortunate, but it's something that the program directors can address if that is the case. And what I was speaking of specifically was that certain stations have certain strengths, and they have professionals in certain areas that may not be covered in another station. Whatever anyone might think of those producers, we have people who have international voice and perspectives like Rick Wolf, Gloria Brown Marshall. So there's a lot of unpaid producers that do stellar work in the world and would benefit the all of Pacifica. So I wouldn't certainly presume that the producers are the problem. It's the message not getting as much of a voice as it could. Jim?
Okay. I think the issue of some stations, like in California, KPFA and KPFK, particularly KPFA, that has greater resources, more paid staff, dedicated staff, that automatically gives them ability to craft strip shows in the morning before and using Democracy Now twice is a different situation than the one we're dealing with in other stations where they don't have those resources. So on that point, I think, you know, I agree with you completely, Kathy. And yes, there, you know, I always will, you know, will. My mantra sometimes is that the programming is clearly not captivating enough people. But, yes, people are people, and they are very intelligent and have a lot of resources. The problem in some cases is that they're not being, as far as I'm concerned, properly utilized, and plus they're not being reinforced. Because a morning show, let's say a major market of a Pacifica station captures extraordinarily low amounts of people between 6 and 8 o'clock. And then all of a sudden, Democracy Now! Comes on and goes whammo, right up. And then it goes back down again. Well, people have to sit there and say, what are we going to do to make that audience be, you know, not less than a very, very low amount, but equal to other station signal areas that have more resources and paid staff, but maybe in New York, we have actually access to a lot of resources that we don't take advantage of. And I think the idea of an inventory of skills that could be put into reinforcing a morning show or afternoon drive show is a good idea. But then the other question is the training question, which I hope we get to, because I think the skill levels in some stations, at least producing radio, is much better overall than other stations. At least, and I could be wrong, with Houston and L.A. and Washington, I just sort of know that if you have a training program in process like KPFA does for so long, eventually you're going to get a lot of well-trained, well-rounded people. And
10 seconds, please.
That's it, Eric.
I have to mention, I have to say, we really appreciate that in D.C. hearing something mentioning, someone mentioning strip shows in the morning.
All right, yeah.
this is Grace. Yeah, I'm ready now.
And then Eric, do you want to be on the staff?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, Grace.
Okay, I'd like to quote Lou Hill from an essay he wrote a long time ago. We make a considerable step forward, it seems to me, when we use a system of broadcasting which promises that the mediocre will not survive. But the significance of what does survive increases in ways of the profoundest import to our times when it proceeds from voluntary action. Anyone can listen to a listener-sponsored station. Anyone can understand the rationale of listener sponsorship, that unless the station is supported by those who value it, no one can listen to it, including those who value it. This is common sense. So the basis of listener sponsorship is that programming is of a high enough quality to warrant support from the listener base. And really, that's the bottom line. Yeah, there are some shows that are excellent, some shows that are middling, and some shows that just simply should not be on the air unless there is some way to improve them. So I think we need to understand that there is no stream of money that's going to support Pacifica. We have to support ourselves, and to do so, we have to strive to have excellent programming and to have the grid be diverse enough and interesting enough to warrant listeners and supporters.
Okay,
it just comes
seconds.
Down to that.
Okay, 10 seconds, please.
That's it.
Okay. Does anyone else want to comment or offer?
This is Sabrina for the checks.
Yeah.
Just wanted to echo what Catherine was saying. Yeah, I think it's kind of short-sighted to just assume that all these programmers out there, including myself, in reference to what Ken said, that we're just out there to have our own shows, and that couldn't be further from the truth for some of us. Catherine's made the sacrifice. I've made the sacrifice to be on the programming committee, to be on the PNB, to be on the LSB, to try to improve KPFA and WBAI and individual stations and Pacifica as a whole, one step at a time. And I think we're all pushing towards that, and I think that needs to be recognized. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, Jim,
okay,
just
Catherine,
just a quick comment. I think my personal feeling about this is the cultures in the station are very important. That is, the nurturing of talent and the bringing in of talent. How is talent developed and nurtured? What skills were they taught? And sometimes, given the lack of resources in some stations, there's not, you know, hey, let me show you this, let me show you that, how can we make your sound better? I mean, there's not that culture of, again, I'm just giving my opinion, this culture of support. And, of course, if there's lack of equipment, there's lack of workstations, as it is in New York, then it becomes even more difficult. I just think that, you know, those are kind of issues sometimes that we have to really think about. And I do, unfortunately, have to say that, you know, if you have shows that are on, what says that some shows should be on forever? If it only has 500 people listening to it, for 10 years, and it only makes $100 each marathon. Now, it might be terrific in other ways. Maybe it should be made into a digital show and then reinforce it with other things, but why should it stay on the analog? How do we judge what stays and goes? A very, very tough question.
Okay, I'd like to respond to that. I would say that Pacifica has always had programs that was there because of its import and not because of its profit-making value. So, for instance, in New York, we've had shows that are very important, like the Housing Notebook Show, and other shows that are dealing with communities that are not necessarily going to have the resources to support them, but they do need the service. We have communities, LGBT communities. Of course, they have money and can support it. But to say that we shouldn't have that on the air, I think that we have to be more discerning than to just make it about dollars and cents. And I guess I'll leave it there because our mission supersedes some of the questions that you're asking about with regard to topic. And you're right, culture is very important, training is very important, but also the communities being served is very important.
Catherine, this is Eric. Can I go to the deck for about 10 or 15 seconds?
Yes, Eric.
It occurs to me there are programs here and there that are not necessarily what I would call state-of-the-art. Having said that, they perform fairly well during fund drives. Here and there, they exceed their goal. That's just food for thought. I wanted to put that out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. It's a different skill set. Fundraising is a skill set that's not being recognized. Ken, go ahead. Yeah.
I believe that the PNB approved a method for program directors to evaluate programming, and this is true. The point being that there are various factors involved: popularity, mission statement, notoriety. You know, an award-winning show. Underserved community that has to be addressed no matter what the expense, and professional standards. There's various factors. And we could, if you just leave this up to make it a mushy thing, then no matter what you evaluate, somebody's going to come in and say, well, they're weak on six of these points, but they won't even say that. They'll say, well, yes, but this show is needed. Well, yes, but this show used to be popular. Well, yes, but this is a nice guy. Well, yes, the show makes a lot of money. So the issue is to come up with a just, equitable system for evaluating that. I think the PNB did do that and came up with a motion that it's standing policy that programmers will be evaluated on the basis of listenership, revenue, professionalism, and adherence with the coordination with the mission statement. And you have to consider all of those factors because here's the thing that doesn't get evaluated. Every hour that somebody's on the air is an hour that somebody else isn't on the air. And there may be somebody who it's more appropriate to put on the air. And that's also a relativistic thing. Every hour that's in drive time with a show X is an hour that some other show is not in drive time, where that would be better for the station, the public, the network, and everybody. So you can't just go on a nostalgic appreciation. You have to be aggressive to put out the best that we can put out to fulfill the mission statement, the best that we can put out, not just the mediocre, just as Lou Hell stated. So I think what we want to do is become aware of that. In fact, I sent it to this committee. I did send it out in an email.
10 seconds,
be
please.
Aware of that policy and be sure that it gets implemented. And that's the beginning. There's going to be argument because everybody's got his favorite show. So you need an objective standard that everybody can use without getting into tremendous argument.
Well,
that's the line on it. The line on it is the existing policy that the PNB has already approved.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else? I have a question. I remember earlier on, I believe it was Grace sent this, the motion that was passed last year to the interim executive director. I'm not sure that it went to the current executive director. Grace, would you be able to do the same thing and send that motion to the current executive director?
Yes, I will do that.
Thank you. And copy everyone, please.
Okay.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. The next item on our list is underwriting. So I have to apologize because I haven't been able to go to do work on that. I've been focused on the fund drive for the last weeks and haven't been able to get into it as I would like to. Myself and Eric have agreed to collaborate on it. But I would say that I think it's very important for us to establish a policy or perhaps an experimental period in which stations who desire to seek some form of underwriting will know what guidelines to follow. And I say that because certainly there are stations that are already doing it, and there are stations that are proposing to do it, not from the perspective of getting corporate underwriting, but more cultural underwriting, cultural and arts institutions who would be able to make funds available to the station to promote their concerts or their galleries or their whatever those concerns might be. And I do think that we need a policy that will cover that. So that's what I would have to say. Would anyone else like to comment on that?
Yeah, I'd like to comment on it.
Excuse me, we have a bit of interference there.
Yes, could someone please mute if you're moving papers and such, or let everyone mute who's not speaking.
Okay, sounds like we're
good. Okay.